I want to read some verses with you, please, in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 10. Reading verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And Jesus said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now we know the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Very simple and well known little section of the word of God. And of course, those of you who preach the gospel, you have used it many, many times in the past. And we know that God has used his word in this section for the salvation of souls. But what I have in mind this evening is to try and encourage you, and as our brother has said in his prayer, to stir our hearts in the light of the gospel meetings that will commence on the Lord's Day. And I thought that this parable that the Lord spake was born out of a question that was asked by a lawyer. Who is my neighbour? Now, they often say at home in Ireland, you can select your neighbours, but you can't choose your relatives. The neighbour is a very outstanding individual in that when we have a good neighbour, we not only have a neighbour, but we have a friend. Neighbour is not the individual that brings in the clothes next door if the rain is coming on. He's not the individual that lives the next farm, and when the cattle break out into another farmer's field and ground, that they get them back to their own home ground again. But this neighbour that we have outlined for us here, this neighbour has something more and something greater. If we look at this little section, we find that we could write over it 1996. If you think of robbery, racial discrimination, you think of attempted murder, whatever. That's what we have here in this section, and that's what we have in the present day. And so the Lord Jesus, as he's addressing this lawyer, puts it to him, Who is my neighbor? And he gives the answer. It's interesting to note the people that are involved in this parable. First of all, there are the thieves. Now, what's the ambition of the thief? the ambition of the thief, of course, is, and what he believes is, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine if I can get it. That's the philosophy of the thief. And then, of course, we have something else in the picture. We have got a priest and a Levite. Of course, the priest is the individual that's marked by compassion, that ought to be marked by compassion. We have the priest there, and we have the Levite. Well, the Levite was the man in the Old Testament, that particular tribe of Levi that was associated with the movement of the tabernacle when it was dismantled and when it was moved across the desert sand. So he was interested in the building of God, the work of God. But as far as they were concerned, both the priest and the Levite, this man on the Jericho road was rather a nuisance. Then, of course, we have the lawyer in the story. And the lawyer is the individual that I can see. Well, he could talk all day. It was a subject that this man could discuss. He could discuss the law. He was a real expert in things of the law. And he could talk all day. Of course, we have that in Ireland. I don't know whether you have that kind of a person here in Australia or not. But there are people who could talk all day. And they could talk all day about nothing. And at the end of the day, you would have learned nothing from them. So this is the characteristic of the lawyer. And then we have another individual in the story. We have the innkeeper. Well, now, as far as the innkeeper was concerned, he was there to serve his customers. He was looking for another customer for the day. So the innkeeper looked upon the man on the Jericho road as another customer that he might serve and earn a little profit from. And then, of course, we have the Samaritan. He's called the Good Samaritan. We were out for a walk this afternoon, Brother Dr. Victor and I, and I saw a container at the side of the road, a Good Samaritan clothes box or something of that order, and I was reminded in my own heart about the story that I was going to speak about tonight. So this was a Good Samaritan. Why, the Bible doesn't call him that, but this was the true neighbor. The true neighbor. And it's interesting that when the Lord comes to the end of the story, he puts the man, the lawyer, into a corner, so to speak, and he gets him to answer the question that he has asked. Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor? The Lord very often has at the end of his stories the sting and the tail, like the scorpion. Who is my neighbor? Asked the lawyer. And the Lord got the lawyer to answer his own question. And then the lawyer said, well, he that showed mercy. And now said the Savior, go and do thou likewise. In other words, don't be asking a question, who is my neighbor? But be you a neighbor. You be the individual that will lift the man from the Jericho road and take him to the inn and take care of him and pay for him. We'll see that later on in the parable. But you be a neighbor. And you see, brethren and sisters, when it comes to gospel work, you and I, God has given us a little niche to fill. He has given us a responsibility. And he expects us to fulfill that responsibility that is given to us in order that we might be a blessing to others. Now, when I think of this Samaritan, there are four things that I want us to think about. First of all, I can see in the Samaritan that he is marked by compassion. Marked by compassion. And that ought to mark every one of us. When we think of the need of poor sinners, thousands and teeming millions all around us, the Lord Jesus, I think about 12 times in the New Testament we have this word compassion, and on three occasions, the Lord uses it himself. We have the father of the dumb man in Mark chapter 9, and on two other occasions. But here we have the Lord Jesus, and in prayer we mention that the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, he looked across the multitudes one day and he saw them like sheep scattered. They were abandoned, men and women, in their sins, away from God. And he just saw them like sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved with compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is the way that God feels about us. The way that God feels about you and me. That's how God wants you and me to feel about others. I wonder, dear brethren and sisters, have I got the compassion that I ought to have for the souls of men and women? You know, our brother, some brother in prayer, mentioned about the world and God loving the world. You know, the Epistle of John speaks about loving not the world. Love not the world. But when we come to John chapter 3 and 16, we find that God did love the world. And that's the way that God wants you and me to feel, that we love the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Here's a man, and he's traveling down the road. These other men come by chance. By chance. And they ought to have taken care of this man. If this priest ought to have been a man that was marked by compassion, he would have got down and cared for the individual. But you see, as far as he was concerned, this man on the side of the road was only, he was a nuisance. He was an embarrassment to the priest and the Levite. And so they passed on the other side, going on down to the city of the curse. But here's a Samaritan as he journeyed. And we often hear the preachers talk about this man didn't come by chance. This man was journeying. You know, this man had a purpose in life. He had a goal before him. There was a reason for him being on that road that day. And no doubt this was the reason that God used. This is still told by the Savior himself. So he's an individual that is marked by compassion. And then I see something else in this little story. I see that this Samaritan is a man that's marked by contact. He's marked by contact. There is no remote control as far as the Samaritan is concerned. He was riding along on his little donkey, and he sees this man lying on the Jericho road. Wonder what we have done. What would we have done? Would we have thought to ourselves, well, I'd like to get down and help that man, but I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. But you see, the blessing was that man made contact. He got right down from his little donkey. And he got right down to where the man was lying in all his need. His deep, deep need. This man was a helpless man at death's point. And he was looking and needing an individual to come to his aid. Brethren and sisters, might I say this kindly and speak to my own heart. There are people all around us, and they're in deep spiritual need. You know them, don't you? I know very few in Sydney. Our brethren here, our brother Dr. Victor and Dr. Raymond here and their families. I don't know people, but you know them. I know them back home in Ireland, but you know them here in Sydney. What the Lord wants you to do is to make contact. Now you say to me, when ought we to make contact? Well, can I suggest that it's perhaps too late when meetings begin? The contact should be made along the days and years of the week and the months and the years behind us. And then when meetings come to an area, it's not just so difficult to get a person to come to the meeting. Now, I know, generally speaking, it's not easy to get people to meetings. I heard some time ago about a man that got saved, a man in his middle age. And somebody was interested to know how this man came to know the Lord. What was it that spoke to him? What made him think about getting saved? And they put it to him, were you attending meetings? No, I wasn't attending meetings. Did someone give you a little gospel tract?
No, no, he didn't give me any gospel tract.
He said, how did you come to think about your soul and salvation and getting saved?
Well, he said, I tell you.
He said, I was one of these roundsmen in a van, and I was delivering goods around the country area. And this lady and her husband, every time I called, once every 2 weeks, they brought me in and they gave me a cup of tea. Did they preach to you? No, no, they didn't preach. Did they give you a gospel tract? No, they didn't give me a gospel tract. And what was it that impressed you? The very fact that they showed a little kindness to me. They showed a little kindness to me every 2 weeks for 15 years. And when I thought of their kindness to me, and I knew they were Christians, I couldn't help but think that's what they have got. And that's what I would like to have as well. So brethren and sisters, you know, it's wonderful just what we can do through a little act of kindness. A little act of kindness. You know, when the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, ye are the salt of the earth. And I know, and we all know, that salt is a preservative. But I tell you something about salt. I never like to take too much before I go to preach, because I would be drinking water endlessly. It creates a thirst. And if you and I are the salt of the earth, then we ought to create a thirst in the souls of sinners, that they want what we have got. And they won't be satisfied until they find Christ. So here's a man. And he is not only marked by compassion, but he is marked by contact. And he gets right down. He gets involved with this man. Now I know it's sometimes not easy to get involved with certain individuals. I see people back home in Ireland, and some of them you'd hardly rub clothes with. You'd hardly go near. And yet I think like this. Those are people who've got a soul. They've got a soul that's going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. I hope you think about that. Then I see that this man is marked by care. This man cares. I think that's a lovely thought. There's a little word in the psalm, I think about Psalm 142 or somewhere around there. No man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. Here's a man that cares. Cares for a man who's in need. Cares for a man who's been robbed. Cares for a man who's dying. He cares for him. Brethren and sisters, I think we'll all agree, there's nothing touches the hearts of sinners like people who care. Many years ago I read a little article, I think maybe it was Choice Gleanings Calendar, about a young man who was a Christian, went to visit another home, and there was another young person in that home, and he wasn't saved. And the young Christian thought, well, I'd like to say something to this young man, but he said, I don't really know what to say. And while they were this side of the room, standing, chatting together, the young Christian said to him, did ever you think of becoming a Christian? And the young man left the company of the Christian and went to the other side of the room, and tears coursed down his cheeks. And the Christian thought he had offended him. And he said to the young man, he said, did I offend you? No, he said, you didn't offend me. But he says, I thought nobody cared. I thought nobody cared. If there's one thing above another or anything else and everything that impresses an unsaved person, it's a
seeing in it a Christian who cares. Who cares?
This is the practical side of things. It's a very simple little word this I'm trying to give to you tonight. But it's a little word that has searched my heart. And here's a man. And he travels. What is he traveling with? Well, you might say he's traveling with a first aid kit. A first aid kit. He has got oil. And he's got wine. And he's got bandages. Well, you might say, well, that wouldn't be much good from a Christian's point of view. Well, I tell you, you can always carry a first aid kit with you. You could carry a first aid kit. You ladies can carry it in your handbag. You gentlemen can carry it in your pocket. What is it? Two or three gospel tracts. A little gospel booklet or two. And when you see a person in need, it was nice. I enjoy traveling, I must say. I never find it boring. And it's nice traveling and meeting people, beginning to converse with people. Because opportunity, if you want opportunity, you can always find it. And if you pray before you travel, you'll always find that the Lord will give you someone to have a word with. And many a time, the saints of God, as they travel and they come in contact with people, they're able to drop a little word into a sinner's ear. First aid kit. Always carry some with you, will you? Always have it on the ready. Here's a man. And he didn't have to go to a pharmacist, chemist shop to get some, or a doctor's surgery to get all this. No, he had it with him. Right on the spot. And he was able to get down. And not only did he pour in the oil and the wine and the bandages as he wound up the man, but I love what he did. He put him on his own beast. Just the very place where he sat. That's where we are spiritually tonight, you know, isn't it? Seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where God has put us. Once we were down in the gutter of sin. Once we were slaves to sin and sin. But he has lifted us. Right up the 40th Psalm says, he brought me out of an horrible pit. And from a miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock. And he established my goings, and he put a new song in my heart. I think it was some old Scotsman that said, and I see there's one here tonight, Mr. Scott, well, he's a Scottish man. And he said that he brought me up, and then he straightened me up, and then he steadied me up, and then he says he's tuned me up. He put a new song in my heart. And so this man, he lifts him, the Samaritan, he lifts him, and he brings him to his own beast and puts him on the beast. And what does he do? He takes him to the inn. Now that all took time. That all took time. And I believe that there was not only compassion and contact and care, but there was cost. Now I don't know how much really it cost the Samaritan. I know that it cost him 2 pence, and we understand that would have been 2 days' wages in those days. But it cost him time. I don't know whether he had an appointment down in Jericho or not. He may have had. There must have been some business that he was going to attend to down in Jericho. And it may be that it was that evening or the next morning, whatever. But here's a man, and he's delayed. He's delayed on his journey to care for an individual. You know, sometimes I think that life's too organized. I think we work against the clock a lot. And I suppose it's all right if you're having gospel meetings to keep your eye on the clock, because it's too bad, you know, when a person takes their watch and they shake it. Well, they don't know whether it's been stopped or not, or you've been going so long. But I think it's good to keep in time again. But I think maybe life is too much organized. And we have to slot everything in. See, this man didn't have to slot anything in. It
cost him money. It cost him time. It may have cost him an appointment down in the city. But nevertheless, he paid for it 2 pence. He said, take care of him. And he stayed all night. He stayed all night. And he said to the innkeeper, he says, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I will repay thee. And that individual, I believe, he looked every day. He looked every day for the Samaritan coming. And maybe if you'd said to that dear man that had laid on the Jericho road, you're looking for somebody, are you? Oh yes, the man that lifted me is coming back. He's coming back again. He said he was coming back. And you know, there was a man left the slopes of Olivet one day with nail-pierced hands and feet, and went back to glory. But before he went, he said he was coming back. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he is coming. The last book of the Bible, chapter 22 of the Revelation, verse number 12, he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. There was a dear old man, an old preacher by the name of Mr. Love in Ireland, known by our brother Lindsay here, and maybe by our brother Victor. And he was rather quaint, but he had a great imagination. Great imagination. And sometimes it worked in all right. But he, when he was preaching in this one night, he says, there was the man lying under the care of the innkeeper. And he said, the phone would ring. And then he said, oh, that's the Samaritan coming for me now. But you can understand the thought. But he's looking for the man that's coming. Brethren and sisters, I hope we're looking for the man that's coming. He soon be here. This might shock you, would it? He could be here before it's time for the meetings to begin. That's why we should be fervent in our prayers and in our contact with people now. I trust the Lord will bless this simple little talk from this parable, and may it be a blessing to those of you who are here tonight. God bless you.